Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm delighted that you can be with us today. 3 years ago, I wrote a blog post called Pets in the Afterlife that was picked up by Google in June of 2016. Since then, I've been hearing from bereaved pet parents almost daily, and that post is, believe it or not, by far the most visited spot on my website. No matter what else I'm doing, it's the most important spot there. Judging from my contacts from readers and listeners, our grief for dogs can be even more acute than as our grief for children who die. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but as I've read all these agonizing messages, I've come to understand why that might be true. Nearly everyone who is completely torn up at the loss of a beloved dog or cat feels tremendous guilt about things done or not done. The pet was let outside, subtle signs of illness were not noticed, on and on. They have all these reasons. I had him euthanized. Does he forgive me? Or we didn't euthanize her. We should have done it. It's amazing how much grief there is. And the reasons may differ, but the grief is the common denominator with this grief for pets is so intractable. And the fact that our animals can't talk to us, really, and afterlife signs from them are much less common than our signs from people, seems to further increase the pain of their loss. Please understand, everyone, that grief, complicated by guilt, is the worst problem you can have. You've got to get rid of the guilt. When I tell people who contact me that they really must get past the guilt, I tell them three things. First, the evidence is consistent and abundant that every animal you ever have loved will be waiting for you in the afterlife, now young and healthy, and jumping all over you, loving you more than ever. And second, every dog who ever has communicated with us, of which I'm aware, has expressed only gratitude and love to its pet parent, whether it was euthanized or not euthanized, and no matter what else the owner might have done. I have never heard of a single dog or cat or any animal that ever blamed a human being or felt anything but love and gratitude. And finally, the evidence suggests that our beloved pets can feel our grief for them, and it pains them very much, especially when it's complicated by guilt and the pet feels no anger at all about anything that ever was done. So whatever you do, forgive yourself, try to feel better. Because that's frankly the only gift you now can give to your beloved little pet friend. It's a fact that dogs don't live long. I know someone who calls puppies pain in a fur wrapper. But we want our dogs to be healthy for as long as they can be. So this week we have a wonderful veterinarian who can empower us to take such better care of our beloved pets. Judy Morgan is a certified and accredited veterinary acupuncturist, chiropractor, and food therapist. She has four books out, but the latest is Yin and Yang Nutrition for Dogs, Maximizing Health with Whole Foods, Not Drugs. And believe it or not, this book has been number one in its category on Amazon for the past 6 months. Judy operates two veterinary hospitals that offer an integrative approach, combining holistic medicine with traditional Western techniques, which to me strikes as the perfect balance. Judy, I'm so thrilled you're with us. Welcome, and we're going to have fun with this.
We are, and I'm so thankful to be on your show. And I have to tell you that the day that I met you, you changed my life.
Oh, my.
And for the better. You know, it was what I was standing in line behind you at a media event, and I remember tapping, and I was looking over your shoulder at what you did, and I tapped you on the shoulder and just said, Roberta, could you please just tell me whether or not I will see my pets in the afterlife? And you told me what you said at the beginning of the show, which you just repeated. And I mean, you changed my life because,
I'm so glad.
And I was one of those people who had so much guilt. And I actually had a communicator tell me once that one of my little dogs needed me to let go of the guilt because I was holding her stuck in place and she needed to move on and I needed to forgive myself. And, you know, it brings tears to my eyes when I hear you talk about them being young and jumping all over me, because, I mean, it's just, it's going to be an incredible reunion because I've had so many, and I frankly, I can't wait. And that's a, it sounds like a weird thing to say. Like, I can't wait. It's like, it's not that I can't wait to die, but I can't wait to see them again.
I think everyone that I know who is works in this field feels that we can't wait. We know we have work to do here. We're not trying to short circuit that work. But I have a friend who, whenever I speak with her, she says, well, one day closer. And that's how we feel. I mean, it's going to be a great day when we get to go home. And I'm so looking forward to it. But at the same time, you have wonderful work that you're doing here. And you're a lot younger than I am, too. So you're going to have to stay longer. That's just the rule.
Oh, boy.
But I should just add, too, that Judy and I have been friends for a while. And another thing which I think I got her hooked on was doing podcasting and radio. That's true, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My show, we're just in the beginning of our second year, and on the platform that I'm on, the Naturally Healthy Pets podcast is number one on that platform. And I think it speaks to how much we love our animals and how much we want to connect and do the right thing with them.
Isn't it fabulous? It is just to be able to do this work and help people is the most wonderful joy that you can possibly have. And anyone who's listening and thinking, gee, I wish I could help people more, there is work waiting for you to do. Just as Judy and I each independently have found, there's work waiting. Just, you know, offer yourself to God to do whatever work God has set up for you. And it's amazing how well that works. You get the work, and it's always what you would most like to do. So we've had a little love fest here for a moment, but please tell us a little bit about your background, Judy, and how you got interested in holistic treatment of pets.
You know, it's been a long journey. I actually graduated from a Midwest veterinary school 34 years ago, and I can't believe it's been that long.
You don't seem that old. She's very young, everyone. I am amazed to tell you she doesn't look that old. But that's wonderful. You have experience, which is a good thing.
But, you know, going to a Midwest school, you know, that's the Corn Belt, very, very traditional, and 34 years ago. And at that time, it was even unusual for a woman to hold that position. And even, you know, we were the minority, and now women are by far the majority. So I practiced very, very traditional medicine for about 10 years, and I frustrated by, you know, kind of the obvious things of, you know, you've got only so many things in your toolbox and you're using so many medications and then more medications to treat the side effects of the first medications. And as far as, you know, anything nutritionally, we had processed prescription diets that we could prescribe, but I never felt like the pets did well on them. And, shockingly, and I mean, it was a funny story. I accidentally took a chiropractic course for animals, and I didn't realize that's what I was doing.
Oh, gee. Well, talk about spirit working in your life. That's exactly the kind of thing spirit would do.
And, you know, I call it fate, and I'm a firm believer in fate or things aligning the way that they're supposed to. Yes. And so, you know, partway through the course, I was like, holy cow, I think this guy's talking about chiropractic for animals. We don't do that. I mean, I'd never even had chiropractic on me. So, but I started using what I learned, you know, immediately, and the changes were miraculous. And then, of course, I had guilt because I was like, oh my gosh, all those dachshunds and bassets and long-backed dogs that we euthanized because they were paralyzed and they couldn't walk and they had these problems. And I thought, I euthanized them needlessly and unknowingly.
Oh, wow.
You know, so then we had to go through, you know, process all of that. But I thought, well, you know, if this one modality could do that much, then I should look into what else is out there. And then I just went crazy. I started studying homeopathy and raindrop therapy and essential oils and acupuncture and food. And I mean, you name it. I had my finger, you know, crystal therapy, light therapy, energy work. And I had my fingers into everything. And after, you know, about a year and a half of floundering around and going, holy cow, there's no way I can learn all of this, I said, I'm going to have to focus. So my focus became traditional Chinese veterinary medicine, which has four branches: acupuncture, herbs, food therapy, and Tuina, which is sort of a combination massage chiropractic. And so,
okay, well, let's pause for a moment and celebrate this sentence. Traditional Chinese, holistic? They've been doing this longer than we have. Is that what you're telling us?
Thousands of years.
Oh, my goodness. Thousands. Veterinary med. We don't think of them as even – we think of them as eating dogs, not patting dogs. But you're saying they've been treating animals this way for thousands of years. I think that's wonderful and amazing.
Well, and it started, you know, keeping their horses healthy because they needed their horses, you know, as their war vehicle and, you know, for running the plow. And, you know, they were work animals and they needed them to be healthy. So they had to apply the same things that they, you know, knew from an acupuncture and herbal standpoint for people. You know, they said, well, we can apply this to our animals as well. So the Chinese veterinary medicine actually started very, very early.
Wow. I'm delighted to hear that, actually. I think that in many ways, the ancient Chinese were well ahead of us, and this is yet another way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and the thing is, traditional science now kind of shuns acupuncture and herbalism and some of those things because they want double-blinded, placebo-verified studies, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's very hard to do sham acupuncture. I mean, if you put a needle in, you're going to get an effect. You know, and it's kind of like, okay, well, 3,000 years of proof isn't enough.
That's part of the problem. When I talked to my husband actually today about what we would be talking about, he's a retired physician. I mean, all of this is like voodoo to him. It's amazing. Yes. Now, Judy and I, as I say, have known each other for a while, and I have some quotations from her that I'd just like to present to her and have her sort of expand on them. This one is really kind of surprising. Judy, you say most pet owners have been educated by veterinarians and pet food manufacturers that only processed pet foods sold by veterinarians and big companies will support good health for dogs and cats. Unfortunately, this couldn't be further from the truth. And let me say that I remember even in childhood, we were told that if you don't give your dog, you know, if you give your dog just table scraps, and of course scraps makes it sound like it's derogatory, if you don't give your dogs that nice can of dog food, the nice healthy kibble, the dog will get sick. Now, that's what I believed 50 plus years ago. What's the truth?
So the truth is we don't balance every meal that we eat, and we survive. I mean, maybe we don't have complete vitamin coverage. You know, some of us have definite deficiencies because some of us have, you know, very poor diets. Many people have chronic illness from eating only processed foods. If you look at the movie, you know, the Super Size Me, you know, it, you know, if all you, I have cousins who only do takeout food, fast food for every meal. And they are obese with many chronic medical problems. And it's a direct effect. I mean, it's not genetics. I've come from the same line of genetics. It is a direct effect of what's being put into the body.
Yes.
And so we have that same problem with our animals. And so when I was a kid, you know, I remember we had the Gaines burgers that, you know, they basically looked like a little kind of a plasticky hamburger in the plastic pack. And, you know, we would feed those to the dog and we thought we were doing such a wonderful thing. And then after I went to vet school, I actually did one of the few things they taught us about nutrition was that those were horrible for pets because the biggest preservative in them was sugar. And the only thing they said about them was, well, if you diagnose diabetes, well, they shouldn't eat those little plastic patties anymore.
And
that was the only bad thing they had to say about them. They were like, oh, well, yeah, they're fine for regular dogs. And, well, no, they're not. They're, you know, it's all preservatives and dyes. And most of those things that are made to, like, there are a lot of snacks on the market that are made to look like little sausages or little bacon strips. They're really wheat and corn fructose syrup and sugars and dyes that are formed to look like you're giving a meat treat. But if you actually read the ingredients, there's no meat in there. And pretty much every ingredient in there is horrible for the pet.
So, all right, let's stop and talk about that. A lot of people like to give snacks to their pets. And what should, if you have dogs that you love, what are the healthy snacks?
So fruits and vegetables other than grapes and raisins. My dogs will go nuts. I cannot peel a banana. I don't know how they can hear a banana peeling from three rooms away. And they're pretty deaf the rest of the time. But with there's a banana, so I guess maybe their sense of smell is working pretty well.
Yes.
But most fruits, apples, pears, blueberries, strawberries, most of mine will spit out raspberries. I think they're just a little too tart for them.
Yeah.
But green beans, broccoli, carrots, any of that kind of stuff is great for them.
But do they like it? I mean,
they love it.
They
my
do.
Dogs, my I can put a bowl of salad on the floor and my dogs will go crazy for a bowl of salad. Another very popular treat in the summer is melon. Watermelon is very cooling and they absolutely love it. So if it's 100 degrees out, go slice a watermelon and share it with your dog. They'll love it.
Oh, and, really? Wow. Yeah,
and actually my cats will even come for a lot of this stuff as well. And other things that I make my own freeze-dried treats, but you certainly can buy them, but I make my own dehydrated treats. So I will take a cookie sheet and put like a little baking rack on it and put just little strips of chicken breast or chicken liver or turkey or beef or whatever. Hearts, anything like that, put them on the sheet, put it in the oven at the lowest temperature and leave it in there overnight. And in the morning, when you come out, you have a whole sheet full of wonderfulness that your dogs will go crazy for.
Really? Okay. All right. So this isn't, in other words, it's not hard to do it right.
No, and it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. I almost said that too. Exactly right. To feed them right is cheaper, and they will be just as thrilled as they would be if you gave them what looks like a sausage that came in a bag.
Right, that is full of all kinds of bad things.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, so then we have this myth that they have to eat a complete and balanced meal. You have to have a complete and balanced meal in that bowl every single meal, every single day, or your dog will die. Well, that's a myth that is perpetuated by the pet food companies and by the veterinarians who are selling the pet food made by those pet food companies. My dogs eat homemade meals. And sometimes it's raw, sometimes it's cooked, just depending on, you know, whatever we're doing that day. And the great thing about making it myself is I know the quality of the ingredients. I will make an egg frittata and we have the same meal. And what we do is we look for balance over time, just like we do with people. And there are certain things that we have to be cognizant of. And so, you know, on my website and in my books, I talk about the things that you would have to add to get it, you know, at least somewhat balanced. But I will tell you, I had a client that came in a couple of weeks ago. And she had a small dog, and the dog was running around the room, looked pretty good. And that dog had been fed cooked hamburger and carrots. And that was the only thing the dog had eaten for 3 years.
Oh, so we're talking healthy, right?
Right.
We're talking.
So that is so far from a balanced diet. And yet this dog was, now, you know, we tried to get things balanced up a little bit. I said, okay, well, we're going to have to add some things, you know, so his bones don't all dissolve over the next couple of years as he gets older.
Yeah.
But, you know, it didn't die after 3 years of being fed an unbalanced diet. And yet your veterinarian and the pet food companies would have you believe that, oh, my gosh, you do that for a week and your dog's going to be dead.
Not true. My goodness. This is fascinating. Now, your book, The Yin and Yang Nutrition for Dogs, which is doing so very well, does it talk about all of this, what to feed your dog and how to make the meals come out well for the dog and stuff?
Yeah.
The snacks, all that stuff that talks about.
Yep.
Okay.
So we've got cookie recipes and a little liver fruitcake that we made that we use at, you know, Christmas time. But it's got all kinds of dehydrated treats. And there's about 60 recipes for different meals. And the meals are based on your dog's personality. And we tell you how to figure out his personality from a Chinese medicine perspective, whether he's a fire dog or a water dog or an earth dog.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
So then we also feed for disease problems. So if you have a dog with kidney failure, liver failure, heart failure, or a breed that is prone to. So I have Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, and a majority of them will develop mitral valve heart disease at some point in their life. So we have recipes to try to strengthen the heart and try to, you know, keep them alive longer. And I have a 17-year-old Cavalier at my house. So I would say we're doing pretty well.
Absolutely well. And your 17-year-old dog is still healthy?
Well, he finally, about 3 months ago, developed heart disease. But It took until he was 17, and he's pretty arthritic, and we got him when he was 8. He was a puppy mill breeding dog. So by the time he was 8 years old, he only had 4 teeth, which now he has none. He only had 4 teeth, and he was already severely arthritic. So,
oh, my goodness.
You know, for somebody in bad shape at 8, he's still running around, you know, chasing the girls. He's been neutered, but
they still have an interest.
Never mind. Yeah. He herds the girls and he's all that. And then some, he rules the roost.
I love it. That is so encouraging to people who want their dogs to live longer. You took a dog at the age of 8 who was pretty damaged already by his breeding and the way he'd been treated. And that dog is still healthy and happy and comfortable at 17.
Yep.
Which
I also, it is. I also have 2 Cocker Spaniels who will both be 17 in October. One of them I adopted at the age of 5. The other one I adopted at the age of 14. And at the age of 14, he came extremely broken, extremely just a mess. His skin, his ears. He actually ended up having both ear canals removed because the infection had actually was eating away the bone of his skull.
Oh, my Lord. That's terrible.
It is terrible, but let me tell you, he runs around, he runs up the stairs, they both run up the stairs, they run around the backyard, they eat like champs, and you to look at the dogs, you would have no idea that they are that old and that they had that many medical problems when we got them.
That is fabulous. Well, what encouragement you're giving to people.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Never too late to make the change. Never.
It isn't. Oh, that is so interesting. I mean, let me just say a couple of other things that you've said. You've said real food, table food, the same food you and I eat is the most nutritious food we can utilize to help our pets live longer, healthier lives. And you're living that. I was also troubled when you said that large breed dogs are suffering heart failure due to nutritional deficiencies in their kibble diets. That's possible?
So this is new. This is a study that just came out about 2 months ago, and the FDA is actually investigating, which they rarely get involved. They're supposed to, but they don't. The grain-free diets, which have been all the fad for the past few years, there's some sort of a connection where it's causing taurine deficiencies, which is an amino acid, which is leading to dilated cardiomyopathy. They're seeing it mostly in large breed dogs, but also in some small breed dogs. And it's something that we wouldn't normally see. And that's why it raised a red flag.
Oh, my goodness. You also talk about the notion that more than 2/3 of dogs who are more than 10 years old will have a cancer diagnosis. And you think that that's related to the way they've been treated medically and food-wise. I think that's astonishing. It's amazing what's put into our animals' pet food. Just knowing that as long as you feed them as well as you feed yourself, they'll be healthier, happier, and live much longer. That's all we really need to know. But fortunately, Judy has a book out that will help you to do that in a way that also balances your dog's diet. What about cats, Judy? Do you talk about cats in the book too?
Not that particular book. Most of the recipes could be tweaked for cats, but cats really are obligate carnivores, which is another interesting thing about the pet food industry. They're obligate carnivores, and they really are meatosauruses. They should be eating a high meat diet. And so raw feeding or freeze-dried or homemade diets for cats are perfect. If you think about what a cat eats in the wild, it's the mouse, the rabbit, you know, and they're eating the entire thing.
The internal organs too.
Yes. And so the little bit of carbohydrate they get in their diet would be the stomach contents of the mouse or the rabbit. But if we look at what is in dry pet food for cats, corn is very commonly the first ingredient. And any dry food, most people say, well, meat's the first ingredient, so it's high meat. No, any dry food, maximum meat content is 30%. And that's because it won't stick into a kibble with anything more than that. So you have to know that you are not feeding a high meat diet to your carnivorous cat if you're feeding dry food.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, But you say there is another book that would talk more about feeding cats?
My first book, From Needles to Natural, from a few years ago, has a little bit more cat information. These recipes were specifically made for dogs. There are a couple of, I think it's catinfo.org is a phenomenal website for kitties. So I'm promoting a friend who has a lot of good recipes and tons of kitty cat information.
Okay, did you say catinfo.org?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, well then write that down, everyone who has a cat, because one of the things we all love to do is promote one another as we do this work. But I know if you promote her, she must be good. So yep. let's do that. So, all right, let's talk about something else. What are the biggest health dangers that just are around the house? Because I know I've heard of some, like poinsettias. Is that a problem if you have a dog or a cat?
So poinsettias get a bad rap, and I actually had a cat once who, unbeknownst to me, was just chowing down on my poinsettia. And
really?
The cat kept vomiting and vomiting and vomiting, and I did it. This is when I was in my first year of practice, and the cat kept vomiting, and I couldn't figure out what was going on, so I finally did an exploratory on the cat, and when I opened up the stomach, it was full of poinsettia leaves, and I said, aha, you little stinker.
You little stinker, the poor thing!
So he had surgery because he was eating poinsettias. And not telling me. But poinsettias will cause vomiting and diarrhea, but not necessarily death unless you let them get too dehydrated and they continue to munch on them. So you should put them up out of reach. But actually, we have them in our house every year, and now my animals are smart enough that they actually don't munch on them.
Avoid them. Good. So what else is a problem in your hand that people may not know about?
Grapes, raisins, macadamia nuts. So if you have like macadamia cookies, those are actually very toxic, and you don't want to share those. Chocolate for sure.
Yes.
Most drugs and pharmaceuticals are going to be very dangerous. So for instance, if you spill a bottle of Tylenol and your cat eats one Tylenol, that's a death sentence. So cats are extremely sensitive to Tylenol, very sensitive to aspirin, any of the non-steroidals. So like the naprosin or ibuprofen drugs, very, very dangerous for animals.
Really?
Certainly, like seizure medications, ADD medications, anything mind altering, very dangerous for our pets. Things that we don't commonly think about are chemicals or rug deodorizers or shampoos that we're using on our floors. If you think about where your pet spends most of their time, they're on the floor, they're on the rug, they're walking on it, they're licking their paws. And
if you are
using chemical cleaners, they are getting a really high dose of that. So you might want to look at using more natural cleaners. I mean, one of my favorite cleaners is just white vinegar. Dilute white vinegar is great for mopping floors.
So
there's a lot of things that you can do. I mean, lemon water is also really good for cleaning. Lavender water is very good for cleaning. So a lot of things you can do. I find a lot of animals that are allergic and they're just breaking out in sores. When I finally get the owners to fess up, I find out they're using carpet powders, the deodorizing powders or sprays.
Oh, yeah.
That's very, our pets are very sensitive. And remember that their sense of smell is 100 times what ours is. So if you're spraying an air deodorizer, I find them annoying personally, but I can't imagine what my dogs think, scented candles. And one of the new things that got talked about a lot this past Christmas, apparently the little essential oil diffusers were a huge thing this Christmas, and it will kill cats. Cats are very sensitive to essential oils, and so you have that in your bedroom and your cat's sleeping in your bed with you, and the problem is it's a hidden killer. It will cause liver damage, so that's happening inside your cat, and you don't realize there's a problem until they're on death's doorstep, and it's not fixable. So be very careful with essential oils. Make sure you talk with, somebody who knows something about essential oils for animals if you are going to diffuse or use them in your house.
Wow. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about, and thank you for all of that. I mean, I didn't know most of that stuff, so you really helped a lot of people today just talking about that. But let's talk a little bit about after-death communication, because I hear these stories, but of course there's much less of that kind of communication that's spectacular or that is, out in the room from dogs than from cats. What do people tell you who have lost their pets? Do you hear any stories?
I do, and I actually used to have an animal communicator who worked in my practice alongside me every day, and that was kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I learned all kinds of things. And, you know, he actually diagnosed bladder stones in a dog. You know, this dog was really sick and it had skin disease and I just couldn't figure out what was going on. And he looked at the dog and he said, his bladder hurts. And I said, no, he's got skin problems. No, his bladder hurts. And so, you know, we went and took x-rays and I said, oh my gosh, he's full of bladder stones.
Oh my. Okay. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So this communicator was able to talk to people and help you diagnose you diagnose their illnesses. That's a great feature of your practice.
It is. Well, and he's not here anymore, but I get people all the time who take their animals to communicators and then they'll come in and they'll go, well, the communicator told me his back hurts, so I need you to fix his back. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
you know, and people are afraid to, you know, like they wouldn't tell their regular veterinarian that. And sometimes if they don't know me well, they're afraid to tell me. And then, you know, when they figure out who I am and what I do, they're like, oh, well, okay, I can tell you.
Yes. Yeah. No, But what about after death? Anyone ever hear from there? Tell us about that.
So we had a client who had a Bernese Mountain Dog that was a show dog, and she moved from New Jersey to Tennessee. And I had been caring for this dog his entire life, and he actually picked up leptospirosis, which trashed his kidneys when he was about 2 years old.
Oh, no.
At a dog show. And the owner came in. The dog was the picture of health running around the room, looked beautiful. And she said, no, something's not right. And when we tested him, I said, oh, my gosh, he's going into kidney failure. And we discovered that that's what it was. Now, that was when he was two. And this was very early in my holistic career. And we managed to get that dog all the way to 11 years, which is huge anyway for a Bernese Mountain Dog.
A big dog like that, yeah.
So when we put him down, she had moved to Tennessee. And they actually put the dog in their motorhome and drove all the way back to New Jersey to have the dog euthanized in the company of people who knew and loved the dog.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
It was. And the communicator happened to be here that day. So we were all, you know, and he had worked with the dog before. So we were all around the dog and we euthanized the dog, you know, and I listened to the heart and I said, he's gone. And the communicator said, no, he's not. He's sitting right there.
I love it. Really? Right after he died.
He was sitting next to the owner and kind of, you know, pawing at her and saying, okay, let's go. I'm ready to go. And she's like, well, I guess we better go get in the motorhome.
Oh, my goodness. So the dog left with them.
Isn't
that beautiful?
Yeah. And I had somebody else. I forget who the heck I was interviewing. And they said that a dog had died in their car. And after it died, it was a small dog. It jumped up on the dashboard and it sat there for the rest of the trip because they were going to drop off the body. And the dog sat there on the dashboard, wagging its tail, jumping up and down, so excited to be going for a ride.
So, but now this is the sort of the spirit, the essence of the dog, but they could see this dog.
Yeah.
And they're laying out on the back seat was the body.
Yes.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
It's very cool. And I have tons of people, you know, after the dogs pass, and if there's somebody that, you know, is open to the information, I will tell them, when you go home, sit quietly and listen. And I have people who will email or call the next day and say, oh my gosh, he was running all over the house last night. I heard the collar tags. I heard the toenails.
Isn't that fun? Oh my goodness, that's great. Well, that's a great tip. If you have to take your dog to the vet, and by the way, they always are glad you do it. If the dog is in pain, they're going to be much happier when they get out of that body, especially if they're old. So just sit and listen. That's all they had to do, and they heard these wonderful, wonderful signs from their pet.
Yeah, you just have to be open. And I have to tell you one more story. We lost one of our Cavaliers just a couple of months ago, and one of our other Cavaliers, who's a little rescue, has never barked in her entire life, and we've had her about 10 years. She's never barked. We think she was debarked. And after the one dog died, I came home from work, and my husband said, I videoed this. You have to see it. And the one who had never barked was sitting on the sofa looking across the room, barking the exact same bark of the dog we had lost.
Really? Oh, yeah.
And that's the only time she's ever barked.
That is a fabulous story. I mean, I hear stories too all the time, and you're right. People are shy, but with me, given what I do, everyone will tell me. But they are shy about telling most people because these are precious stories. Yeah. The way these people love their dogs and cats is beyond our ability, in some cases, even to imagine. And what a precious thing to be able to hold to your heart that you heard that bark. Wow.
And on video.
and you have it on video. That's even better. I'm talking today with my wonderful friend, Dr. Judy Morgan, who is an evangelist for doing the proper things for our dogs and cats. And she's just as wonderful in person, frankly, as she is when you listen to her on the radio. So let's talk a little. Let me just say one thing about signs. One of the most common signs from our, especially if you have ever slept with a dog, if the dog sleeps on your bed or the cat does, often if people will just pay attention and be sensitive to it, you'll realize that that dog is still or cat is still sleeping by your feet or wherever he slept. And people can actually see the little paw prints, you know, depressions in the blanket when they go, and then the little sort of concave place where they lay down where they always had been. I hear that story so often that it's one of the things, you know, besides sitting quietly right after the dog or cat dies, it's a good idea to kind of pay attention to seeing whether maybe they're still sharing your bed, which is great. So Judy, let's talk about what you want to make sure people are very careful to know about their animals. One of the things she said to me is, hey, don't vaccinate them so much, which it was like, okay, that's amazing. So tell that story.
Okay, so there's three main things that we need to do to keep our pets healthier. One is certainly feed them more nutritious diets. Second is not vaccinating every year. So for years, the veterinary industry has sent you that little card in the mail every year that says it's time for your pet to come in for their shots. We now know, now that we've actually studied immunology and we've started, you know, checking to see whether animals still have antibodies to the diseases, the core vaccinations, distemper, parvo, rabies virus, basically last a lifetime. And they only need to be given probably two as a puppy or kitten, and then they're good to go. Now, rabies, unfortunately, is required by law every 3 years. So, you know, if you're in a high rabies area, you're going to have to do that. But the other vaccinations really last a lifetime. They should not be given every year. And every time we give them, we're poking the immune system. It's causing autoimmune disease, chronic allergies, chronic inflammation, cancer, all kinds of problems. So when you get that card in the mail, you need to, and there's a ton of information on my website and blogs, and even the AVMA and AHA, which are the two parent veterinary organizations nationally, even have on their websites, do not vaccinate any more than every 3 years, yet 60% of veterinarians still vaccinate annually.
Wow.
So it is a problem. So you need to stand up, you know, be knowledgeable and, you know, stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll be happy to bring them in for an exam because I think that's very important that we get that physical exam and detecting lumps, bumps, you know, changes. I'm all for lab work. You know, let's find changes earlier and be proactive.
Yes.
And then the third thing is chemicals. So everybody is scared to death of seeing a tick or a flea on their pet. Most of the chemicals that are on the market do not repel fleas and ticks. They kill them after they're on your pet. So if you're not seeing fleas and ticks, you just don't have fleas and ticks. You don't need to apply those chemicals every month or give that pill every month. Heartworm preventative is different depending on where you live in the country, particularly if you're down in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi. That's pretty important. But we've got to stop throwing all these chemicals at our animals. Remember, their lifespan is shorter. Everything is intensified. They age much more quickly than we do. And every time we're throwing more chemicals, more vaccinations, and bad nutrition at them, we are shortening their life and we are causing problems.
Wow. Thank you for that. That is extraordinary.
That's my soapbox. Now,
yes, well, this is great. And now tell us just quickly about your radio show and podcast, where it is, how they can listen. And what's your website? Because I'm sure you talk about all this on your website, too.
Yeah, so I have a ton of information on there. It's drjudymorgan.com. So drjudymorgan.com. All of my books are on my website. They're also on Amazon. I have a Facebook Live that I do pretty much every morning. And my Facebook page is Judy Morgan DVM, which is Doctor of Veterinary Medicine. So Judy Morgan DVM. If you just go to Judy Morgan, you get to see pictures of my kids. If you go to DVM, you're going to get educated.
Okay.
I have over 500 videos.
Yeah, really? Okay. And they're all about health. They're sort of the same sort of thing you're telling us today. Oh, isn't that fabulous?
Yep.
That's great. And Judy, you're located in New Jersey, right?
New Jersey. I'm in Southern New Jersey. I have two practices, but I also do phone and Skype consultations all over the world. So if you don't have a holistic veterinarian, if you want your records for your pet looked at to know, you know, like, you know, sometimes I'll look at records and I'll go, holy cow, your dog was in the hospital for vomiting and diarrhea and got three vaccines while he was there sick. What's up with that? But you're not aware of that.
Right.
So I am happy to look at records and be an advocate. So we do consultations, and there is a link on the website for that.
Well, this is amazing. I really so much appreciate all that you're doing for us. I no longer have dogs because I travel so much, but I know people for whom their dogs are their life, and I already know people I'm going to send your book to, and I'm going to make sure they listen to this program because this is going to be life changing for lots of people. So thank you so much for being with us, Judy, and you and I will be talking before too long.
Thank you.
Everyone, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm so glad you could be with us today, especially if you have a pet. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You are. You never began. You never will end. And when you really get what that means, it will change everything, everything in your life for the better. Next week, we're going to be talking for the third time with N. Riley Haggerty. He's here to talk about his recent books, one was 2017 and one was 2018. They're called Spectral Evidence 1 and 2, Mind-Blowing Wonders Within the Heyday of Historic Spiritualism. Riley is doing us all a tremendous service because he seeks out and studies and preserves some of the extraordinary efforts the dead were making in the late 19th and early 20th centuries to prove to us the truth of their survival and of our own eternal life. Those that we used to think were dead continue to try to do this now. They still want us to know the truth. But the problem is that back then, when they were trying so hard to get through to the scientists, get them to study it, the Luddite scientific, and I don't use that word lightly, the Luddite scientific community established the false dogma of materialism. They've been living in it for more than a century. As a result, we have had no significant scientific developments in the past century. Yes, we've got technology. That's not the same thing. Basic science is basically off the rails now. So the dead gave up on the scientists after a while. And today what they're doing, and I think this is wonderful, we talk about it sometimes here, what they're doing is concentrating on developing good and easy electronic communication with all of us. And eventually there's going to be an app, they tell us. You'll be able to use that app to call up, you know, great Aunt Mildred, get her secret recipe, check in with, you know, your children if you've lost a child. And I think we're even going to use it during funerals. I mean, it's you go to a funeral and there's the music that's a dirge and it's all depressing. Wouldn't it be great if there could be a speaker set up and you could hear Grandpa saying, wow, you wouldn't believe how happy I am now. Think about what a difference that will make for all of us. And that's what they're working on. But I just want you to pause and think for a moment about what they were trying to do 100 years ago. Think of how horrendous the 20th century was. Think about if they had managed to break through to the scientists and get them to help us understand that life is eternal. Don't you think it would have transformed everything over the past 100 years? I think it's crucial that we be aware of what they were doing 100 years ago. And that's why I love Riley Haggerty. His work is making that possible, he and a few others. So please join us next week and prepare to be amazed. Of course, this week we've been talking with Dr. Judy Morgan. Don't you love her? She's a certified and accredited veterinary acupuncturist, chiropractor, and food therapist. She is someone who, if you have any problems with your pets, she will talk with you over Skype. She will do whatever she has to do to help you help your dogs. Her book is called Yin and Yang Nutrition for Dogs, Maximizing Health with Whole Foods, Not Drugs. It's an Amazon bestseller, and it's about to sell two more because as soon as I get off from doing this, I'm going to buy a couple for friends. I have to tell you how important people tell me their dogs and cats are to them. So even if you aren't someone who loves a pet, the love we have for these animals is extraordinary. And if it's possible for us to help them live healthier lives for longer, then Judy Morgan, frankly, is a miracle worker. I'm thrilled to be able to share her with you, and we will have her back again. As you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, The Fun of Living Together, and for young children, The Fun of Meeting Jesus, and the upcoming The Fun of Growing with Jesus. My next adult fun book, which is called The Fun of Loving Jesus, it's about how we can do what Jesus wanted us to do in the first place. How do we start the movement Jesus came to start? It should be out in the fall. You can order all these books, of course, through bookstores or on Amazon.com, and all the adult books are available as audiobooks. If you ever want to talk about any of my books, if you want to talk about anything at all, you can contact me through robertagrimes.com. I answer every email. Just please be sure to give me your correct email address so if I write an email, it'll get through. Past episodes of Seek Reality are available on webtalkradio.net, on iTunes, and through the Seek Reality app that you can find for free in the iTunes store. Earlier episodes are being rebroadcast after a year by our friends at Dream Vision 7 Radio, and that's where Judy is at the moment, too. So if you want to hear what she's doing, go to Dream Vision 7 Radio. If you ever wonder where Seek Reality can be heard right at this minute, just go to robertagrimes.com and click on the radio tab. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you in particular are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.